Welcome back to Channel 9 Live here at Microsoft Ignite. I was walking the hallways and I heard the buzz that there was a particular session that happened not too long ago about some new features in Hyper-V that took place with what? How many people in the room?
I think it was about 1,200 people.
1,200 people. Yeah. And how many times have you presented this before? No, not you, Mr. Armstrong. Sarah, how many times have you presented before?
Exactly zero. So this is the first time. Yeah.
And how did she do, Mr. Ben?
She was fantastic.
Nice.
She only typed in the password wrong once.
That's good.
Hey, he did too, so.
Well, this is true. This
I've
is
known
true.
That to come from Ben. Why don't you just take a second and introduce yourself, your title, and what team you work on.
So, hi, my name is Sarah Cooley.
Nice to meet you. I am
a program manager on the Hyper-V team. So I work specifically on management, so all of the manageability between guest operating system and host operating system.
Nice.
And I'm just some guy who wandered in off the streets.
Yeah. We gave him a new shirt. We shaved his head. It's all perfect. Nice and clean.
No, I'm
Ben Armstrong, program manager on Hyper-V.
Right.
Virtual PC guy.
And so this was a legitimate session. This was the session is what is new in Hyper-V.
Yep.
With the latest release that just was available during Microsoft Ignite.
Yep, with a technical preview too, and the latest Windows Insider build for Windows 10.
That's so. What are we calling this on the outside world? If someone wants to go and download it, is it TP2?
Well, I call it build 10,074.
That works. That's what's on my system right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but the public world that's accessible for downloads.
Windows Server Technical Preview 2.
Okay. I see that the naming group is still very alive and well.
Yeah, riding strong with our succinct, catchy names.
Right. So with the session that you guys had, I'd like to know, first of all, you can go and watch that online. You can catch it on demand anytime at channel9.microsoft.com. But what was the demo, would you say, Sarah, that got the biggest reaction, I don't know, reaction or laugh, one or the other, I'll let you choose, that was about a particular feature set or something?
So I think the biggest laugh was probably production checkpoints. But personally, my favorite, and it did get a pretty good reaction, is PowerShell Direct.
Okay.
So what we're allowing you to do in the technical preview 2 and again and later in server 16 is use PowerShell directly between your host operating system and your guest operating system.
Okay.
With no network, no configuration, you just have PowerShell, you type in the commandlet you want to use, you hit enter, and it just runs.
Now, is this like just PowerShell remoting? Or is it different than PowerShell remoting? Or I'm a little confused with the layers of what's going on here.
I don't want to say PowerShell remoting because there's nothing remote about it. You're not using networking. You're not using WinRM. It just exists with no configuration. But you are using the same commandlet. So you are going to enter PS session.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a VM name flag or VM GUID flag rather than computer name. And that means that you're connecting directly to your virtual machine.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So networking-wise, there's no need to have an actual network between the host box.
Nope.
And
yeah, we showed this with no connection. Disconnected, network card, everything.
Wow.
Yep, little red X on the bottom.
Wow.
Yep.
That would blow Seth's mind.
Yes, it would blow
Seth.
But
Seth isn't here to hear that one, so he'll catch that on replay, the fact that you can do that.
Yeah, it makes automation really easy.
So yeah.
We used it all over our demos.
So how did you go ahead and, like, was it an underlaying tone through every single one of the demos, or was there one that really kind of showed it off the best?
We never really mentioned it throughout the demos, but
We demoed it, but we used it to build the entire environment. So every single demo that we did relied on this technology because 12 lines of PowerShell code and you can now build a domain controller.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. I like that. And you, sir, Mr. Ben, what would you say? Obviously, you had the tip of the hat to PowerShell Direct, but
yes.
What would you say, sir, would be your favorite one that happened during that particular session that's also a new feature?
This is so hard for me. I'm going to pick one, and then I'm going to immediately regret it.
Okay, because it's like, you know, picking your favorite child out of all the children that you might have.
I find that easier, actually, than picking... No, children. It's okay. Daddy loves you all.
Nice.
I have three kids. They're great. They're great.
they're watching this on their Xbox at home right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to hear about this tonight. One of the features is actually we've done some amazing work with REFS in this release. You know, for people who've been following Microsoft.
I don't know if you caught, you probably didn't catch that. It's like, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So for people who have been following Microsoft...
People have been asking me about REFS since we introduced it, and like, what can we use it for?
Yeah, yeah, and that's been the case. We've been talking about it, and it's been like, so what's the cool thing? And we've been like, well, it's new.
Go ahead.
Finally, Server 2016, and this is in the technical preview to build.
Okay.
We have some awesome features. In fact, afterwards, I had people coming up and saying to me, so I'm using REFS for all my Hyper-V servers now, right? And I'm like, yes, because
that's like a flip, absolute different position than what you're supposed to be doing in 2012 and 2012 RT.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you said, do not goest there.
Yeah. So two big features that I showed off. The first one is if you're running on REFS, we can now do instant fixed virtual hard disk creation.
Wow.
Now, for anyone who's done this today, it is not instant.
It feels like I'm getting my fingernails pulled out.
It is the opposite of instant. It is time and eternity, you know, expands in front of you while you wait.
I picture little gnomes building hard drives virtually inside the system to put the platters together.
And with REFS, and it doesn't matter what size, it is always instant. You want a 50 gig, it takes like 2 seconds. You want 2 terabyte, 2 seconds. Because REFS actually has the intelligence where, unlike NTFS, where we have to go through and manually, we have the little gnomes.
Yep.
They're working. With REFS, it's just one gnome. He goes and he asks REFS for a fixed disk, and REFS gives it to him. The gnomes are happier.
The gnomes are happier.
So that was one thing. But the other thing, and to me this is actually kind of cool, is the other thing we do with REFS is, have you ever used checkpoints? With virtual machines?
Yeah, yeah.
So you
not
know
with
the,
REFS, but with
checkpoints. So you know that you're using a checkpoint, you delete it, and then we've got the merging.
Mm-hmm.
We've got merging all the changes. And that takes a long time. And while we're doing it, we're like, your hard drive is going crazy, right?
Yeah, it's like pegged.
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're taking all the data out of one drive and all the data out of another drive, and we're moving it all around, and lots of gnomes again.
Yes.
With REFS, that is instant. And no data is copied. It's magic.
Think of the gnomes.
Yeah. it is amazing because REFS.
I have to watch this on replay now because I've been at this stage the entire time. I've not had a chance to see this now. I'm going to go back and watch this one on replay.
Yeah, it is just spectacular. I took exactly the same set of virtual hard drives and I did a merge on NTFS, and you're like sitting there going like, watching the gnomes. And then I did the same disk on REFS instant. But the great thing is, zero data copy. So your hard drive doesn't thrash, the system isn't affected, it's just don't even notice it. It is amazing.
That's insane. How much demo time did you get to have versus Ben? Because I know Ben likes to take over the entire thing. He's been doing this for a long time.
It's true. I mean, Ben's been at this for a while.
Yeah.
But we had like 15 demos.
15
demos.
Yeah,
we had all of 15 demos.
15 in 75 minutes.
We did. Yeah. We had 30 minutes of demos.
Yes.
It was a nonstop roller coaster ride of demos.
So about two of those were mine. So I had, 5 minutes of demos and probably half an hour worth of demos.
Yeah.
But, it's a good start. Have to start somewhere.
It's great. Yeah. Absolutely great.
It's been really funny reading the feedback comments because Sarah's been really nervous. She did a great job, but the whole time I'm like, you can do this, you can do this. We get the feedback comments, and I got these people going like, you should have let Sarah speak more. I'm like, you guys have read the dynamic completely wrong here.
She does all the speaking, basically. when you're planning out the session, to be able to decide how things are going to work and which way they're going to flow and everything else.
And I'm just like, I want stage time. No. No, that's not how it goes at all, but, it's a good start.
So if you're saying the PowerShell Direct was the one of your favorite ones, you said you did two demos. So I've got to ask, what was the second demo that you did? And that must have been a good feature that you're also very excited about as well.
Well, yeah, it absolutely is. It's my feature, of course.
Okay.
No, but we also made some improvements to Hyper-V Manager, so you can sign into a remote Hyper-V host using alternate credentials. So it's always been a pain to try and connect to a remote Hyper-V host in the past because you need to use the same credentials as you're using on the machine running Hyper-V Manager.
Yep.
And now you can type in the server name and you can select to use alternate credentials and you can type in your Hyper-V administrator account on your remote host and it doesn't need to be the same as your current credentials where you're currently connected.
I would think that would get you a standing ovation from a number of people that I know that have gone through that. It's been infuriating at points to be able to go through and have your credentials. And for me, it's lab environments, different demo environments, having to go off and talk to different Hyper-V boxes and having to remember which credential I was using to do.
Well, I mean, you still need to remember which credential you're using, but now you can select which credential you're using.
True, very true, and you have a bit more granularity, I guess.
But the great thing, though, is in doing this work, what she's actually done is Hyper-V Manager is now using exactly the same infrastructure as PowerShell Remoting. So any environment that you can get PowerShell Remoting working in.
Mm-hmm. What are the requirements for it? So you mentioned it. We talked about what it was. Mm-hmm. We didn't say what are the requirements and how do you set it up. So what are they? Because I don't know what they are.
So it's using Cred SSP, so you have to have remote management enabled, and you have to have credentials, and you have to have Cred SSP set up if you're going to be doing this between work group computers. And
Just out of curiosity, is it difficult to set up Cred SSP on work group machines versus domain joined?
I would say so, honestly.
It's documented.
Yeah, it's documented. There are a set of steps you can take to be able to do this. And now you can, which before you couldn't. Mm-hmm. I won't say it's particularly easy, but at least you have the option available to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And same infrastructure as for the management console, the full GUI, and then same management infrastructure as PowerShell.
Mm-hmm. And System Direct, Center.
And so, System Center as well, to fit them in. How about the demo that had the most... Well, I already mentioned the most applause-ish, I guess you would say. Was it simply the size of the desk, of the disks being created and the length, the lack of time required to make it?
So that was the demo that got the most applause?
Yes.
The thing that we didn't actually demo, I just had a single slide on this, and like the moment I brought it up, like rolling cluster upgrade.
Okay. You and I talked about this before.
Yep.
With the features that was capable inside of Hyper-V Next with...
Yep.
First version of technical preview.
Yep.
What's changed between then and now? Or is it the same?
So it is the same, but we're just continuing to support. The really great thing is we have full support for rolling cluster upgrade, not just for Hyper-V, but for scale-out file server and for CSV as well.
Okay.
So every component of your private cloud, we can get you to the next version of Windows Server, zero downtime.
Matter only of having it running in the most recent version? If you have older versions, you have to get them up to the 2012 edition. You can start doing test and preview with the technical preview version 2, and then moving them to production.
Yep, absolutely.
Fully supported.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's really cool.
I just got a little reminder in my ear here from Simon May about something called, that I heard on the webs as well, paravirtualization. Or virtualization within virtualization, inception within inception.
Yeah, the phrase that we're using is nested virtualization.
Nested virtualization.
We need to come up with a better phrase than that.
Nested. Well, it's only because the naming police haven't gotten involved to name it anything yet.
Yeah.
You know, we call some fancy browser name and they get changed into something else.
Oh.
You know,
Project Inception.
The rumors I have heard is that it is going to be included and available. Is it available in the preview that we have right now?
No, it is not. We are madly working on this. We have told people that we are working on it and we are planning to support it.
Okay.
But it is not in the build yet. And unfortunately, as this news has been getting out, the entire Hyper-V team are now marked people because every IT pro in the world wants this so badly.
It's interesting. I see it come up in the play for things like training, emulators as well, to be able to emulate different options, different solutions. But I never really saw it as another option for where it comes into play for production use or for other things. But
so there's a couple of big things that we're looking at, which is why we're investing in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest reason is all the work that we're doing on containers.
Okay.
So I know you guys have been talking to the team working on containers. You had Taylor up here earlier.
Taylor was up here with David Tessar on Tuesday, I think it was.
So we're working on Windows containers, you know, which gives you all the great, you know, instant deployment, packaging, mobility, all the great stuff that containers give you. But we're also bringing in Hyper-V containers that take all that goodness and then wrap it in a secure hypervisor environment to give you a fantastic production story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we didn't want to do was we didn't want to have people having to make the choice between, do I use Windows containers or do I use Windows containers and all my cloud infrastructure, mm-hmm. or do I use Hyper-V containers but then not have to use my existing cloud infrastructure?
Okay.
So we're like, you know what? We're going to work on getting Hyper-V running in Hyper-V so that you can use Hyper-V containers on top of your existing cloud infrastructure, and that's our goal there.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts are you guys amassing all the blogs and documentation for people to go off and take a look at this?
Your time to shine, Sarah.
So we're actually in the process of modernizing Hyper-V's documentation. So okay. The container documentation site is going to be msdn.microsoft.com/virtualization-windows-containers.
Okay.
And what that is that's actually a documentation site running with Markdown on the back end.
Yep.
And we actually, in the product team, can push live information as quickly as we'd like to publish it. So okay. Our Hyper-V documentation writers and our product team, the kernel team, all of the associated product group teams can actually update that documentation live. And I'm hoping that shortly we'll have a similar structure for all of Hyper-V's documentation. So but right now that's for Windows containers.
So is that in the way it's going or is it already live right now?
So for Windows containers, that's live.
It's live right now.
Yes.
And that sounds awfully similar to what I know that the guys on the Azure side of things are doing. So mm-hmm. that means you're going to be able to actually have community contributed documentation as well?
Well, eventually.
Using GitHub to be able to get the documents in and then make changes potentially down the road?
So we're actually not using GitHub. We're actually running all of this internally to Microsoft on Visual Studio Online.
Yeah, yeah.
So slightly different workflow, but very similar tools, very similar functionality. So I'm really looking forward to having living documents documenting Hyper-V.
Right.
In the meantime, there will always be the omnipresent blogs and TechNet articles and all of the other things that you'd expect to see. So the Hyper-V forums are still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blogging-wise, blogging platforms, I know mm-hmm. Virtual PC Guy, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's still the same, still blog, still there.
Virtual PC Guy will be forever.
Nice. Do you have any blogs you write yourself or not?
Well, I stole Virtual Schoolie on Twitter, mostly to tease Ben about being Virtual PC Guy.
Oh, okay.
I also do publish blogs sometimes on the virtualization blog along with all of the other Hyper-V team.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Closing thoughts and comments, go see the downloaded session.
Yeah.
Check out the documentation on the MSDN site /Windows virtual containers, or sorry.
Yeah, so msdnmicrosoft.com/virtualization.
Yeah.
Right now it's only Windows containers. There will be more documentation
coming
hitting
soon
that site.
To a place near you.
And go play with all the features. There is so much technology. Mm-hmm. That and we just want people to bang on it, let us know what's working for them, and it's a really just feature-packed release.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Congratulations on surviving your first ChatLine Live stage interview and also the small little session that you did a little while ago. I can't wait to watch it on replay on my way home. Thank you for joining us here at the ChatLine Live stage. Today, we are going to be coming back live with an interview. You can catch that later on replay, and we'll be back.